Welcome back to Bullseye on the Afternoon on AM 930 WEOL, taking you through a Friday afternoon and into your Friday evening. It is gorgeous outside, temperatures hovering around the low 80s. It's baseball weather, and it's about doggone time. I think we can all agree to that. Joining us on the hotline right now is Jim Rosenhaus with the Cleveland Indians Radio Network. Every week we talk with Rosie. It's brought to you by Erie Burger Company in the Avon Lake Town Center off Walker Road, where you can go to find a big lineup of sandwiches. You can get a burger made with local grass-fed beef. They've got lots of fries for you to choose from, the typical fresh-cut fries. They've also got sweet potato fries. There's something for just about everyone there, so make sure you pay them a visit at Erie Burger Company in Avon Lake. Rosie, a pleasure as always, my friend. How are you?
Hey, Andy. How you doing?
Lovely. I'm glad that we're staring down Sergeant Sunshine on a consistent basis these days. It feels like the last 2 months when we've spoken. There have been times where we have been speaking when it was, well, kind of fall-like and in many cases pretty doggone damp, but now it's pretty awesome out there, and I know you've certainly enjoyed that the last few days. We're a couple days removed now from a lengthy road trip with a few different opponents. I want to get into something that you mentioned at the end of that last game on the roadie against the Chicago Cubs. You had mentioned that that was a pretty sizable sweep in a brief two-game series against the Cubs. And I wanted to let you emphasize that, because certainly it was big, because the Indians did not start that road trip particularly well, but they ended that road trip with a .500 record, which is a tough thing to do.
Yeah, you know, it's funny how you look at sets of games or groups of games, whether it's road trips or homestands, and sometimes it's how you get there. I think if they had swept the Tigers and taken two out of three in Houston and then lost the two in Chicago, you might be disappointed with a 4-4 trip. But because they dropped the first two in Detroit and did not win that series, and then dropped two out of three to a very good Houston team, to come back and end up with a .500 road trip, I think was real encouraging for the team, when it could have been not a disastrous road trip, but certainly a discouraging one. So you beat a team like the Cubs, which I think by the end of the season will be a real good ball club. I think that's a good way to finish the road trip, and certainly very encouraging for the Indians.
Speaking of encouraging, I think it was encouraging for a lot of Indians fans in that Cubs series to see Andrew Miller at least appear to be returning to form. He came in a big spot. He pitched extraordinarily well. It seems like the back end of that bullpen certainly is beginning to stand up a little bit more, and they're kind of returning to the fire of old. What are some things you're seeing from Andrew Miller? I mean, again, I know we spoke last week. You mentioned that he's still kind of making his way back. Anytime you sustain a hamstring injury, just because you're activated from the disabled list doesn't mean you're automatically going to return to form right away. What are some things you're seeing from him that are showing Indians fans some signs of encouragement?
Really, just one, Andy. He needed to get his command back, and once he did that, everything was fine. The velocity might not be completely back in terms of how hard he's throwing, but it's close. And the biggest issue when he first came back, he just was really struggling with his command. So fastball command is a lot better, and he's got a better handle on that slider. And once you combo those two, things seem to fall into place for him. So is it 100% yet? I don't think so. He still has some room for improvement there to get where he'd like to be, but certainly very encouraging the two nights in Chicago. And I think what was good, he got in there the first night just for a couple of hitters, and then got right back on the mound the next night. And most relievers like that, to a point, but they like the regular work. It just makes them sharper. And he certainly was sharp when he needed to be the second night in Chicago, and was a big key to a win.
Jim Rosenhaus with the Cleveland Indians Radio Network, our guest here on Bullseye on the Afternoon. Rosie's appearance is brought to you by Erie Burger Company. And we'll stick with the bullpen for just a minute. I mean, we'll take the obvious out of the equation with Cody Allen and Andrew Miller, but is there anybody else in that group that has begun to stand out to you? Because that group especially has been under a great deal of scrutiny the last few weeks. Are there any other arms that have kind of stood out to you, that have kind of surprised you and pitched a little bit better over the last few weeks?
I got to be honest with you, Andy, no. And that's the biggest problem right now. His first appearance, Neil Ramirez threw the ball extremely well, but in the appearances since, he's been hit, and then last night hit hard again for a key home run. You thought maybe that they might have captured something there, but Zach McAllister's been wildly inconsistent. So has Dan Otero. Zach was scoreless last night, which was encouraging. Oliver Drake, maybe, but he hasn't been used in key spots. I think they're trying to kind of pick their spots with him. And so far, that's worked out really well. He's put up good numbers, much better numbers than anyone else aside from Miller and Allen. So they're still waiting for some good consistency and the ability to pitch in key spots from McAllister, Otero, Ramirez, and now Oliver Drake. So it's been a revolving door. But I think the two key guys, I think if McAllister and Otero can be successful in key spots, and not necessarily when the Indians are leading, but coming on down by a run midway through the game to keep it reasonable, that'll be a huge key. And we've seen some flashes. They've had some good efforts, but in so many cases, games have gotten away when they've come in to try and keep it close. And until that changes, the Indians are going to really be hard-pressed to get much above the 500 mark.
Well, you mentioned consistency in there, and I want to talk about a guy who has been remarkably consistent. As a matter of fact, he'll bring a 13-game hitting streak into tonight's game against the Astros, Michael Brantley. I mean, he's been on a tear. Not only a 13-game hitting streak, but he's also gone deep four times during said hitting streak. I mean, he really is a pleasure to watch. I mean, just the true definition of a professional hitter. Really hasn't seemed to be affected in any way, shape, or form by moving around the lineup. He's been hitting second a little more recently. I mean, what are some things when you watch him that just blow you away? And I mean, I think we've kind of been spoiled by him here the last 8 or 9 years, but I think watching him, it's just so fun to watch him and his approach at the plate.
Well, he doesn't give away at bats. He doesn't strike out much, which in today's game is kind of an anomaly. He puts the ball in play. He's really hard to strike out, and when you do that, you give yourself a chance. And it's really hard to say, but he may be swinging the bat at a higher level than we've seen in his career with the Indians, which is saying a lot considering 2014. He finished third in the MVP voting, but it seems like there's a little more power there this year. The ability to come through. I mean, he's always been really good with men in scoring position, and he's doing that again. And maybe it's just because he's been hurt so much that you forget how good he is, and now you're seeing it again. But, I mean, he's putting together one of his better seasons, which, again, that's saying a lot for Michael Brantley because the standard is so high.
No question about that. Well, you just mentioned, I mean, look, we're not too far removed from that MVP-type season he had where he finished third in the balloting. So, I mean, you're right. Maybe it's been one of those cases where it's just been so long since he's been fully healthy that we're now getting a taste of the Michael Brantley that we saw a few years back. Any irony in the fact that of all the outfielders that are on the disabled list, he's not one of them? I mean, because if you go back to the beginning of the year, and he was a big injury question, and of course he didn't start the season with the team. But now you look at all the outfielders on that DL with Zimmer and Naquin, and Guyer just added to that list not too long ago, and of course for a while now Lonnie Chisenhall's been on the disabled list. You find some irony in that Michael Brantley is really the only guy that was either on the roster on not opening day, but in the first week of the season, he's the only guy remaining.
It's a big thank goodness is what it is, because, of all the people to not get hurt, and you don't wish it on anybody, but if you had to choose going into the season, you'd hope that he did because of what he can do in his past track record. He's easily the best outfielder that the Indians have. So he's really been taking care of himself. They've given him a day here and there. I'm going to guess he might get one on this homestand. They're just trying to do everything they can to make sure that he is strong and healthy for the whole season. It seems like the ankle's doing fine. There's been no indications that he's playing through anything. So that's a really encouraging sign, and they've played it smart so far. And I think you'll continue to see that, the occasional day off, maybe a DH day, something like that. And that seems to be suiting him really well. And, yeah, he turns out to be the one who has stayed the healthiest of all the outfielders, and that's a good thing because they need him in the lineup.
Well, no doubt about that. That's a great thing. It's just strange when you look back at it. But taking a look at those guys that are on the disabled list in some form or fashion, there's a bit of a logjam there. Any idea as to what kind of timeline we're looking at with some of these guys?
Well, I know Bradley Zimmer is going to go out this weekend on a rehab assignment, and he probably only needs a couple of games to be ready to go. Tyler Naquin is a little further away, and same holds true, I think, for Brandon Guyer. And Lonnie Chisenhall, too, and for Chisenhall, it's not necessarily the health issue now. It seems like his calf injury has healed very well, and now it's just a matter of getting at-bats, and he's going to need quite a few because he hasn't played in so long. So there's no rush on any of them. Right now, there's no spots, really. You could probably trade somebody out. If Zimmer's safe, for example, and again, I don't know this to be true, but say Zimmer's ready to go Tuesday, I could see them flip-flopping him and Greg Allen and giving Zimmer that spot in the playing time at center. But after that, I'm not exactly sure how they're going to fit it all in with Melky Cabrera in the fold now. So usually these things have a way of working themselves out by the time the player is ready and that type of thing. So we'll see what happens. They're still a ways off, most of them, so that'll give the Indians some time to evaluate and make the right decision when they're ready.
You mentioned a guy that I definitely want to hit on, and that would be Melky Cabrera. I know we spoke about him a few weeks ago when the Indians first signed him. Defensively, he's looked pretty sharp so far, a few outfield assists. What are your early impressions of him in a Tribe uniform? Of course, I know you've seen him many times before wearing other unis, but what are your early impressions of him with the Tribe?
Definitely someone who missed spring training. There's no question about that. He's at the plate. He's not the Melky Cabrera that we saw even last year when he came close to hitting a lot of his career highs in the home run and RBI departments. But they need to give him some time to find that good swing and get it going. And it may take a little bit. They can afford to be patient, I think, with him. And so far that's the case, but I don't think we've seen that good role that he can get on yet. So they're going to keep running him out there and giving him a chance to do that and play and see major league pitching, get his at bats and see where it takes him. If he can return to that form, I mean, he had 17 home runs and drove in 85 a season ago, and any team would welcome that in their lineup.
No question about that. I think any team would welcome a number three in their rotation, putting up the kinds of numbers that Trevor Bauer has put up this year. Rosie, the last two starts, he has just been lights out. And you could even make the argument that for most of the season he's been that way. But what is it that's making him so incredibly good this season? I mean, it just seems like, again, you're looking at a guy that is emerging as one of the true stars on this staff.
Well, another year under his belt, a little more maturity for sure, and the last couple of starts where he's done so well, that slider that he really worked hard on in the off season and throughout the spring has become a good pitch for him again. He had gotten away from it a little bit because it just wasn't effective. It wasn't doing what he needed it to do. So he didn't discard it, but he had a hard time trusting it. Whereas the last couple of starts, that's really come into play and been a helpful pitch for him. So you're adding a real good pitch to a pitcher who already has several and was mixing them well, especially the second half of last season. And he's just built on that momentum that he had in the second half last year and carried it into the first portion of this season. And he's locked in really well, no question about it.
No question about it indeed. And I know this is going to be a very big weekend down at Progressive Field. I know you guys are anticipating some very big crowds down there. Looks like for the most part, Mother Nature is going to cooperate, and it should be another very exciting series with the Astros in town through Sunday. And then, of course, the White Sox come to town on Memorial Day Monday. So should be a lot of nice crowds and some nice weather along the way as well. Rosie, we always appreciate the time. Thank you so much for joining us, and have some fun this weekend.
You got it, Bull. Thanks, pal.
Thank you. Again, Jim Rosenhaus joining us here on Bullseye on the Afternoon. Rosie's appearances brought to you by Erie Burger Company in the Avon Lake Town Center right off of Walker Road. Head there now. You can get a burger made with local grass-fed beef. They've got a big all-star lineup of sandwiches for you to choose from as well. Make sure you head down to Erie Burger Company. Time for a break. We'll come back in just a few here on Bullseye on the Afternoon on AM 930 WEOL.